day and honoring our graduates. And our graduates, I want you to know I've been on vacation for 2 weeks, and I've been sitting under an umbrella, my power shirt, swimming trunks, and my socks and shoes, thinking about you and studying this message today. Well, I thought today we might just look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in a message entitled, Keep It Simple. Solomon is considered by many Bible scholars as the wisest man who ever lived. But I want you to know, when you read the Word of God, these are some of the most practical verses that you'll ever absorb. So let's stand together and let's read these two verses together. Many of you have probably memorized this. So listen to me carefully. What does it say? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will direct your paths straight. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. Thank you for the accomplishments of all these graduates. What a blessing it's been to see them grow and mature into young adults. Thank you for their parents and grandparents and all the sacrifices they've made. And Lord, today as we look at your word, help us to be very serious and absorb and be very attentive to the principles, the life principles that you teach here. You want us to all be successful according to your standards, but that cannot be achieved if we're not obedient to your instruction. So that may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be pleasing unto you as we share in the study of your precious word today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Those two verses are in two parts. First, we have to trust. And the second part there is God is the one who guides. Share a simple message with you today. Why we need to trust God. How do we trust God? And what happens when we trust Him? The first thing I want you to write down is this. When we trust God, He will protect us. Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That word trust there comes from a Hebrew word that means to lie down and let your weight be bared by something else. For example, when you go to bed at night, you lie down on your mattress. You don't wonder, can this hold up my weight? You just trust and you lie down. I don't know anybody who lies down at night that does not trust their mattress, and they keep one leg on the floor while they're trying to sleep at night. So that's what he's talking about. He says, take your faith, all your trust, and put that in God. There was a commercial on television several years ago. It's a little girl pictured in a field full of flowers. But on the other side of that same field, with no barrier, no fence, there was an African rhinoceros. The girl was picking flowers and smelling them and enjoying them. And then all of a sudden, the rhinoceros started charging towards her. She kept picking flowers and smelling flowers. And a little caption came up that said, trust is not being afraid. And just when the rhinoceros came right up to her, he stopped and she petted him on his horn. And another caption came up that said, even when you're vulnerable. Trust is not fear, even when you're vulnerable. The message of this particular advertisement was trust in a certain insurance company. The Lord says we need to trust in Him. It's not enough to trust God. You're to trust God. Look what He says here. With all your heart. You've got to put your whole heart into trust in God, because a half-hearted trust is no trust at all. Think about this. Because of God's character, He can't lie to us. Because of His character, He cannot fool us. His wisdom makes it possible that we can have the guidance in our life that'll help us to be totally obedient to Him. He cannot make a mistake, so the only thing we ought to do is trust Him totally. Now look at this. Then we're told in verse 5, and lean not on your own understanding. We're talking about lean. We're talking about maybe leaning against this pulpit. Put all your weight against this pulpit. He's saying, I want you to take your faith and lean your entire faith upon me. If you put what you think ahead of what God says, you'll be walking in darkness and not in the light. Solomon said this, don't be wise in your own eyes. There's a reason for that. Jeremiah 10:23 says, Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own. It is not for them to direct their steps. In other words, anytime anyone decides they're going to take the reins of their own life and go in their own direction and call their own shots, they leave God totally out, and that leads straight to disaster. Well, the Super Bowl, I'm not an NFL fan, and that's irrelevant, but this year's Super Bowl made history. It was the first time that one of the teams played the Super Bowl on their own field and won the game. And then we look at the difference in the ages of the two starting quarterbacks. It was 18 years and 45 days, the age difference between Tom Brady and the other quarterback. The other part of history that was made is this was the 10th time Brady had gone to the Super Bowl, his 7th win, 5th MVP, the oldest MVP to win it, and he's the only one to win it with two different franchises. But I want you to know 3 days later, that's when real history was made. You recall because of COVID, they decided not to have a parade down the streets of Tampa. They decided to go down the Hillsborough River in boats. And you saw on television exactly what happened. Teammates were inebriated, floating down the river in their parade. And what did Tom Brady do? He took the Super Bowl trophy out in the middle of the river and threw it to his star tight end in another boat. When you go back and look at the video, his 8-year-old daughter is saying, oh no! Because had his tight end missed the Lombardi trophy, it would have gone 80 feet into the river to the bottom. I want to read to you what Tom Brady said about his actions that day. Who could imagine an 8-year-old girl, his daughter, would have the most sense of anybody in the whole area? I mean, she's the voice of reason. Go figure. It's amazing how much action takes place in our lives when we give little thought to what we're doing. But he said his mind was impaired that day by tequila. You know, I've learned in my life that sometimes the right thing to do may not seem like the most reasonable thing to do and not what everybody else is advising you to do. I know when I was seeking out what God's call for me was in my life, this is not the most reasonable thing. It's not the most rational thing. But I'm at total peace after 40 years of pastoring. This is exactly what God called me to do. So I want you to know if you trust Him, if you give your entire trust and you lean on Him, He'll protect you and place you in the call He has for your life. Second thing I want you to write down is this, the purpose for your life. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. That means your social life, your finances, your education, your profession, what kind of mom and what kind of dad, what kind of grandparent you become. Look at that word acknowledge. It means to recognize. It means to see, to put in every part of your life, every thought. You're looking for God. What does God want for my life? What does He desire? What would be the wise thing to do? Whether you're playing or praying, whether you're in your vocation or your vacation, God wants to reveal His purpose for every aspect of your life. We were down at the beach. Mary Ann told us down there, the girl that runs the beachfront, she said there's a young man who's a paratrooper. Said he grew up here. And she said he felt like that's his call in life. So a few months ago, he announced that he was going to jump off about the 22nd story of one of those condominium buildings. So a big crowd gathered, his classmates from high school and people all over, and he jumped from the 22nd story, and his parachute failed to open, and he just splatted to his death on the sidewalk. Nobody went to his aid. They just stood there in shock. That's what happens when we do things with our own thoughts. We're not asking God to speak through us. We're not asking God to act through us. We're not asking God to work through us. God has purpose for our lives. In one of Truett Cathy's books, he said, the key to success is giving the correct answers to three questions. You might want to jot these down. They're very, very simple. What will I do? Listen. Who will I serve is number one. Who will I serve? And you know, Kathy, serve God. The second, what will I do for a profession? And number three is who will I marry? These three questions determine the success or the failure of your life. I was looking at one great theologian, Lucy, as she was talking to Linus. And Lucy points to a hill and said, on the other side of that hill, there's happiness. I'm going to climb that hill one day and go to the other side. And she said, over there, she said, I'm going to find happiness. And Linus looked at Lucy and said, suppose when you go over that hill, there's another little boy that lives over there like me. Do you think you'll find happiness? And she looked up at the mountain and she said, let's just forget it. I'm not climbing that mountain. Can you imagine how it would change your family, your marriage, your job, your career, the way you handle money, if you acknowledge Jesus as ruler over all? God wants to rule every decision. Every single one. Not just the big ones. Not just the ones you think are most important. But in every decision, God wants to guide. That means we've got to be totally committed to Him. 24/7. No ifs and ands. Some of our graduates way back when they were small saw their parents sign a check. Now they're using the debit card. And in other ways, they just use their phone and charge things, deposit things, whatever they want to do. But with the Lord, it's like signing a blank check. Here is my life, Lord. I'm signing this check. You use my life in any way you desire. That's what he's talking about. When I grew up in Augusta, we had a house with a closed floor plan. Most people don't know what that is anymore. Now you got an open floor plan. You open the front door. You can see the great room all the way into the master bedroom, all the way in the guest rooms and in the kitchen. Not many walls there, but in our house, there was a formal dining room, a formal living room, and then we had a den or a great room. And you know, it had to be made out of pine paneling. Everybody knows what that is, real pine paneling. So what we did, we played pool and everything else in the den, in the great room. Do not go in the living room. Mom had two crushed orange velvet high back chairs in there. There better not be any fingerprints or bottom marks on those chairs. She had a nice, great Chippendale couch, nice coffee table. Now listen, that room was only for special company that was unexpected. That room, that living room, was only for Christmas morning. Now we did get to wrap our packages between Thanksgiving and Christmas and put them under the tree. We did decorate the tree, but only go in there before Christmas to turn the Christmas tree lights on and off. Don't hang out in the living room. We all hung out in the den. Living room's off off limits. This is exactly the way we treat God. The Lord is for special occasions, for weddings, funerals. Sometimes we come together to worship. You see, He wants to be in the middle of everything. He wants to be in the great room. He wants to be in the den. He wants to be in every single part of our lives. Next thing I want you to write down is God will point you in the right direction. He shall direct thy paths. Now, even though this is a promise, it's also conditional. Look at it. You'll not be controlled by God's will for you unless you're confident in God's care for you and committed to God's purpose. Just write down Isaiah 58:11. Solomon is obviously talking about guidance and direction. He said, "And the Lord will continually guide you." Psalm 32:8. "I will instruct thee and teach thee which way you should go. I will guide you with my eye." As a child or a teenager, has your mom and dad ever looked at you when you're out of control in front of strangers or in front of some of your friends, and your mom does not chastise you, but she gives you the look? Have you ever had the look? You better shape up. Husbands, have you ever been out with your wife and y'all are with friends and you say something and your wife kind of looks at you real quick? You know what that means, don't you? He says here, "I will guide you with mine eye." That means that the Lord is the pilot of your personal plane, your life. Now, there's three levels of thinking that we all have. Here it is. I'm going to do what I want to do. Number two, I'm going to do what I ought to do. And number three, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. That's the highest level. It raises the question, how does God direct our path? It's not really that difficult. 95% of the will of God for every one of us is found in the Word of God. 95%. The other way He does it is God convicts our heart. You need to move to the left. You need to move to the right. You need to speak to this person about Christ. That's what you need to do. And then I want you to know He'll direct our paths with godly counsel. You know, there's a few people, and first of all, delaying, but things I'll run by them and say, "Listen, this is what I think God's leading me to do, but I trust you. You give godly, very wise counsel. I need you to coach me up on this. I want to hear what you've got to say." Proverbs 11:14 says this, "Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." One reason God puts wise people in our path is so that we'll discover and do God's will. Now, this verse speaks more than of just guidance. Notice He says, "I will direct." That's a word that means I'm going to cut a highway. That's a word that means I'm going to clear a path. That's a word that means I'm going to straighten out the curve. That means I'm going to melt the valleys and they'll be filled. I'm going to take care of the crooked places. When you let God get out front, He will clear every obstacle that gets in your way to get you where you need to be. And that's what we've tried to do with these graduates. Many of them were born at Floyd Hospital. You were raised in this church. And all we've tried to do through children's ministry and youth ministry is plant the Word of God in you, teach you to do missions, and try to show you how God wants us to live as born-again believers. That's at the heart of everything we do. But the question is whether you'll take your faith seriously. I was in a board meeting, the Georgia Baptist Convention, about 3 weeks ago. Executive director and about 12 guys from across the state that are on the administration committee were in this meeting. This was one of those stormy days. We just had all kind of rain and threat of tornadoes and stuff like that. So it was a long meeting that just really wrung us out. We started off with a devotion. The pastor across from me had been asked earlier to lead us in our devotion that day in prayer before we started our meeting. And here's what he said. He said, yesterday, day before the meeting, he said, I had to officiate at a funeral. He said, the man that passed away that went to heaven's one of the finest Christians I've ever met in my whole life, very faithful in our church. He said he was a long-distance truck driver. He said when their children got grown, his wife was able to start riding with him on his long-distance trips. Now, he had one of those tractor trailers with the king bed sleeper. He said, true story. He said one day he and his wife got on board for a long-distance trip. They'd been traveling a long time. She had her hair rolled up in curlers, and she was back up in the sleeper. And he had driven a long ways and needed to stop at the truck stop for diesel fuel and then do his DOT required checks of his tires and other parts of his rig. And so he yelled back there and said, honey, you may be sleeping right now, but said, I'm going to be pulling in a truck stop, and said, you need to, if you need to go to the restroom or something to get something to drink, this will be your chance. I'll be putting in diesel fuel and checking the tires. So she said, okay. So he pulled in the truck stop. He started the diesel fueling, and then he went around checking his tires. Took a while to put in a couple hundred gallons of diesel fuel. Wife went in the truck stop. So when he got through with all he had to do, he went to the restroom, got back in the truck, and took off from the truck stop. He got about 50 miles down the road, and State Patrol pulled him over. State Patrol came up to the cab and said, sir, do you know where your wife is? He said, yeah, she's up here in the king bed in the sleeper. Said, no, sir. Said, you need to follow me back to the truck stop. Said, you left your wife at the truck stop. She's standing there with curlers inside waiting on you to come back. Can you imagine how long those 50 miles were? You know what a lot of graduates do when they go off to school and go into their career? They leave their faith at home and become, like their politically correct, liberal environment. I'm just encouraging you to live by Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Take your faith with you everywhere you go. And the Lord says, if you'll trust me, I'll take care of you. And you'll be successful according to my standards. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. Thank you that you give us the opportunity to celebrate all the joyful occasions, whether it's birthdays, whether it's anniversaries, salvations, graduations. You're the reason we get to do that, because you give us life, you give us breath, you give us everything that we have. We are yours. And we want to be used as your instruments in kingdom work. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to invite you to do so. Most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Jesus lived a perfect life, gave his life on the cross to pay for your and my salvation. It says, whosoever calls on his name, in other words, invites Jesus in their heart, will be saved. Would you do that today? Some of you have already made that decision. Need to make it public, be a candidate for baptism. I invite you to come today. Maybe you're not sure how to trust Christ as your Savior. Ted's going to come forward over in the Family Life Center. Billy will join me here at the front today in the worship center. We'll be glad to talk with you now or after the service. You're here today and you've been our guest for a while and you've been praying about it, and God wants you to become a member of Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church to invest your spiritual gifts in this place, I invite you to come. Lord, this is the most important time in this service as your Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts. The question is, will we choose to trust 100% with every area of our lives? Now, we're going to give you thanks for public and private decisions that are about to be made. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask that you stand. Family Life Center here in the Worship Center as we sing our hymn of invitation. Our praise band's coming forward with Ted. And then Mark is going to lead us here. And I'm going to ask that you come as God speaks to your heart.